The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world, breathe a little clean fresh air.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we are here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How you doing?
It's been a heck of a week, but I'm doing okay, I think.
So everything's usual. Business as usual.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I'm finally through the sickness, although I still got this weird gaspiness going on in my throat. It just makes me sound like, oh, I don't know, really, really cool and sexy. I don't know, maybe.
Oh, let's not even go there about the video you sent me this week. Yeah, Ira. Jolene! I'm telling on you. All right, so getting going, jumping right into Veterans Affairs here. I thought this was, again, a really cool story. It was a story about, it's not a veterans hero story this week, but it was a story about people that help veterans, and I just thought it was so cool, I had to share it. This is about a store in Albany, New York, called the Miracle Center for Veterans. I hadn't previously heard about this, although one of my girlfriends got a hold of me and said that she lives down in that area and she donates all of her extra belongings to it. I believe there should be one of these in every city. Why we don't have things like this in every, at least major city across the country, is beyond me. But anyway, it opened up about 3 years ago, and the center has a unique take on helping our servicemen and women, creating a store where everything is free for veterans. The center has grown mostly through word of mouth, and now veterans from around the country are reaping the benefits. However, organizers say they've had to change course somewhat after their clientele and their needs caught them by surprise. The Veterans Miracle Center aims to assist members of our armed forces struggling financially. Everything they stock is free for veterans. That includes food, kitchenware, toiletries, diapers, clothes, and shoes, even beds. However, that's what they stock today. When the doors first opened back in November 2014, organizers had intended to provide holiday help. We thought everybody was going to want Christmas toys, so we set the center up like a Christmas center. And they'd come in and they're looking for dishes and microwaves, and we thought, dishes and microwaves, what's going on with that? Then we found out what they needed was the stuff that we use every single day, explained Operations Director Melody Burns. She says that wasn't the only surprise they encountered. The need was just as great or greater for active duty military as it was for vets. At the beginning, the average guy was probably about 55 to 62 in that range. Now we've come down because we're seeing so many active duty, plus we see their spouses when they're deployed. So we're probably now down in the early 40s, noted Burns. The center decided active duty was equally deserving and expanded its inventory accordingly. Since then, they've seen 5 times the number of people coming through the door, and not just from New York State. They're also seeing people from places like Vermont, Massachusetts, Ohio, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. We're the only thing out there. We're the only place, pointed out Burns. Everything they provide is either donated or purchased with donated funds. Furniture, coats, and jackets, even the most basic essentials. I can tell you we've done in the last 3 years 242,000 rolls of toilet paper, noted Burns. Being on a fixed income, being a disabled vet, it's very helpful. Household items, cleaning things, add up, acknowledged Shelly Kipp, an Army veteran from Valencia. Kipp says more vets need to know about the Miracle Center. Jack Clancy agrees. The co-grand marshal of Albany's Veterans Day parade this year says the Miracle Center allows him to make ends meet and still have a little something left to spend on his grandkids. It's meant everything to me. I'm a fixed income. I'm a disabled vet. They're great to me, pointed out Clancy. The Veterans Miracle Center is a nonprofit organization and is not affiliated with the VA or any government agency. I just thought that was amazing. And again, let me reiterate, that needs to be in every major city, at least across the country. Just a wonderful, wonderful program for our veterans who just simply aren't getting taken care of properly by the government. They're not getting their needs met. So what do you think about that one?
Well, I definitely agree. You know me, I'm all about making sure that our veterans are taken care of. I mean, they're the ones that have sacrificed everything for us, and yet, you know, we're promised they would be taken care of. And at every turn, they're completely screwed over. You know, it's sad that something like this has to exist, but I'm glad that it does, and it does need to be in a lot more places.
Absolutely. So think outside the raggedy box. For this week, I was trying to come up with some ideas, and I came up with Change Up Your Space. I'm sure I'm only on my first cup of coffee. We're recording way too early. But, yeah, okay, creatively. When you run into a roadblock or a stumbling block and you're trying to, you know, brainstorm, get ideas together, stuff like that, like with you doing your writing, one of the things that always works for me, and I have seen it published in several articles, is to just simply change up your space, you know? Go ahead and rearrange the living room furniture, or if you have a desk area or an office, rearrange it. Move the furniture around, change it, make sure that you have plenty of light coming in, you know, dust and clean your windows and make everything look a little brighter and cheerier, and just simply reorganize the space that you're working in so that it gives the whole room a different feel. A lot of us can go down that whole feng shui path. Yeah, you know, there's something to that as well. You know, but just change everything up, make it a little different. And I think that it'll help you to get your creative juices flowing. And also, if you're in a seasonal funk, where a lot of people have been corresponding with me lately about seasonal depression and winter blues, things like that. If you go around your house and reorganize and maybe get rid of stuff that you don't want or need and donate it to the Veterans Miracle Center in Albany, New York, I'm actually saving stuff. I had some stuff I was going to donate to the local rescue mission or whatever, or Salvation Army, that I'm just going to save until I go back down by the city and back by my family, and I'm going to bring it all there because I think it's a much more worthwhile cause and, you know, not as widely recognized. So, but, you know, just getting rid of extra things and changing up your work environment and even your home environment, I think would do a lot for your psyche, help to make you feel better. Plus, when you clean and organize, it makes you feel better because your home is cleaner. You know, it's one less thing that you have to worry about later. So that's my think outside the raggedy box.
Well, I definitely agree with that one. There's something to be said for things to be samey when you're doing certain things creatively speaking. But I know from my own experiences that if I move things around or if I shift the way that I'm doing things, it does help me to find new paths out of those ruts. You know, it's like our brains get into a rut when the space around us is the same. The brain gets into a rut regarding it. And I'll say, if you don't have the ability, or if you don't really want to change things around in the house itself, one other method that you can do that could be helpful is changing the scents that are around you. So, you know, burn a candle that has, you know, cinnamon scent or something like that, you know, whatever nice scent you like. You know, changing the scents in the house is another way without having to, you know, go through and rearrange if you don't have the ability to do that. So.
Right. And that's a form of aromatherapy, which is very helpful. But
sure,
one thing with that I want to, but one thing that I'd like to remind people with that is, there are studies being done now. I mean, I was a Yankee Candle fanatic 15 years ago. And then when I developed sensitivities to, not only medicines, you know, but to certain smells and to perfumes, things like that, I have to use, or I prefer to use, all soy-based candles with pure essential oils. And at the very least, even if I make my own candles, I'm using pure essential oils with a pure base. A lot of studies are being done showing that store-bought candles, you know, even though they smell really pretty, actually can contain some carcinogens.
Right.
So
yeah.
Be careful what you burn.
And
another thing too.
I was just going to say,
go ahead, Ira.
Well, I tend to just use like a cotton ball or something like that, put some essential oil on it and like leave it in different places in the house as opposed to actually doing candle burning myself. But, you know.
Well, that's a safer way to do it. I have one of those, what do you call them? Those Vicks vaporizers.
Oh, yeah.
And I soak like a gauze or a cotton in that and attach that to the vent. And so that the, it's a very inexpensive way to take the dryness out of the air. And then also when you soak a cotton ball and tape it to the vent or a gauze, like a 2x medical gauze pad, what happens is the scent just fills the room, but you're also moisturizing the air as well. And you can also do that with, make your own dryer sheets, you know, and you can even put the oils on a sock or something, that old sock.
Yes, exactly.
And stick it in the dryer and do that. Mm-hmm. But one thing that a fire chief had told me that I really wasn't aware of is that those plug-ins, you should never, ever, ever use them. I guess they're one of the biggest causes for fire.
They are.
Are those
yeah.
like Glade plug-ins?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
yep.
They're very dangerous. So if you're using those, throw them out. Get rid of them. Do something more holistic. You know, I mean, I got the most amazing diffuser from like Walmart for $5. I checked online and I couldn't find one. Well, if, you know, if you go through Scentsy or something, you're going to pay, you know, probably $70-$80 a piece for. But this one was like literally $6. It's a little pod made by Nature's Bounty. And it's just called the Earthly Elements Aromatherapy Diffuser. And that works. It's got a cord that plugs into your computer. And it also works on battery. And so a lot of times what I'll do with that, when it's a really stuffy time of year, if I'm having a cold, not only do I use that in the house, I stick a battery in it and put it in my car. So that's a really inexpensive way to get rid of those plug-ins or those vent air fresheners or those Yankee Candle things, you know, that you hang from your rearview mirror.
Exactly.
So moving on, what do we have here? Oh, to-do list for you. Okay, so for this week, I chose make a list and cross off the things you accomplish. Again, tying in with the seasonal depression, winter blues. You know, we'll set a goal for ourselves, and it's really a wonderful idea. We'll sit down, maybe write out our ideas on a piece of paper, make out a game plan, and that's very admirable, and it's cool to be able to do that. But especially when the winter blues hit and we get stuck in the house and in that kind of depressed state or maybe a little bit anxious, one of the ways that you can help that is to, aside from making your final goal, make a bunch of little goals in between there. Because what happens is when we get that little hit, when our brain dumps a little dopamine every time we successfully accomplish a task, and it doesn't matter how big or how small that task. So to get even more hits, as it were, you take the big tasks and break them up into smaller ones, like smaller goals, and then check those off one by one. That way, your end goal doesn't look as unrealistic or as far away, so that when you have a couple of bumps in the road along the way or you get a little bit depressed, you're not feeling like you failed. And then, you know, essentially then what happens most of the time is you just give up entirely. If you have a bunch of little goals in between and you set those and check those off as you go along, when you accomplish that, that feeling that you get is like a little dopamine rush. And that also helps with seasonal depression and with blues, depression, anxiety, things like that. And also, it'll give you that encouragement that you need to keep moving towards your final goal. And if you focus on these little goals and accomplishing those one at a time, it'll also help to clear the clutter in your mind. So, you know, studies show that if you pick a task that takes a change of at least 25% in your life routine, you will feel disinclined to finish it and often end up self-sabotaging or giving up. So, you know, just another reason, making small changes a little bit at a time and small goals will help to keep you going in the right direction. And then at the same time, you'll get that dopamine rush, that hit, as it were, and naturally increase your pleasure. So there you go. That's my to-do list for you. What do you think?
Well, it's another one that I can definitely agree with and get behind. It's, you know, it's something that I learned a long time ago of doing little treats for yourself in some kind of way to reward yourself. And you know, okay, as an author, I speak to a lot of other authors. You know, I interact with a lot of other people. And some people get very discouraged because they're feeling like they're not making any sales or not making any kind of money or anything like that by doing their books. But I'll ask them, well, how much did you make this month? by selling your books, and they say, well, maybe $5 or $10 or, you know, something like that. They feel very depressed about the fact that they only made $10. Well, the thing that I point out to them is, okay, you can shift your mind around a little bit, though, and realize that if you made $10, you can make $100 or $1,000 or $10,000. It's a matter of scale, and it's a matter of, you know, putting your nose to the grindstone and getting it out there. So whenever I tell them that, they're like, oh, you know what? I didn't really think about it that way. And it starts to change your perceptions on how you're seeing, you know, the actions that you're taking having a positive effect. So I think that those little small things like that, you know, doing those little small noticeable things can really make a big difference in the long run as to your attitude and the way that you look at the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, keep that in mind. Try not to, you know, we talked about New Year's resolutions last time. We both admitted we're pretty much not an advocate of those anymore.
Yeah.
We'll use, coin the phrase maybe as a joke, you know, my New Year's resolution is this. But in all seriousness, this would be a much better way for you to pursue your dreams and your goals and feel good at the same time about yourself when you get those little things done, those little milestones. And as you said, if you keep your mindset positive, positivity has so much to do. It has everything to do, really, with the health of your body. You know, you can change your thoughts, change your mindset, and fix yourself, heal yourself. And, you know, I see it happen every day. You just have to have the confidence in yourself and the faith in yourself and in your higher power to believe that's going to happen, and you'll be good. Memorable, you got to watch this movie. Have you seen this one, My Left Foot?
I saw it once, yeah.
Did you like it?
You know, it was pretty good. I have to admit, it was pretty good.
Well, I like Daniel Day-Lewis anyway from, what was it? Was it Dancing with the Wolves? No, that was Kevin Costner.
That was Kevin Costner, yeah.
Was it that one? Yeah. Anyway, he did a movie I really liked. And so I think he's a cool actor. I like him. But he plays the main character, Christy Brown, at least in his older years.
You might be.
The younger Christy is played by Hugh. What?
Oh, I was just going to say, you might be thinking of The Last of the Mohicans, maybe?
That's it,
okay.
Maybe. I think. Maybe. Yeah.
Well, I know he was the lead in that one, so that might be the one you're thinking of.
That's the one, then. That's the one. Because I remember reading the book, too. Hugh O'Connor plays the young Christy. Brenda Fricker is Mrs. Brown. Allison Whelan is Sheila. And, you know, Kristen Sheridan, Declan Crogan. Ianna McLeam, I'm butchering these Irish names, Fiona Shaw, and Cyril Cusack. So it was made in 1990, and the synopsis that I chose actually to read is from Roger Ebert, but it was a pretty good synopsis. So it's the story of Christy Brown, who's born into a large, poor, loving family in a Dublin slum and considered for the first 10 years of his life to be hopelessly retarded. He was born with cerebral palsy, and his entire body was in revolt against him, all except the left foot, which one day he picked up a piece of chalk and wrote a word on the floor with. Everybody was amazed except for Christy's mother, who had always believed he knew what was going on. She could see it in his eyes. So the story is one of the greatest human stories of human courage and determination. He belongs on the same list with Helen Keller, and yet it is hard to imagine Christy being good company for the saintly Miss Keller, since he was not a saint himself, but a ribald, boozing, wickedly gifted Irishman who simply happened to be handicapped. Jim Sheridan's My Left Foot is the story of Christy's life based on his autobiography and on the memories of those who knew him. He was not an easy man to forget. Tiny and twisted, bearded and unkempt, he managed, despite his late start, to grow into a poet, a novelist, a painter, and a lyrical chronicler of his own life. Like many geniuses, he was not an easy man to live with, and the movie makes that clear in its brilliant opening scene. The movie begins in the middle of one of Christie's typical manipulations. He's backstage in the library of a great British country home, where he is soon to be brought out to be given an award. He has a pint of whiskey hidden in his jacket pocket with a straw to allow him to sip it, but a hired nurse is watching him with a gimlet eye. Trying to get her out of the way for a second, he asks her for a light, for a cigarette. But Mr. Brown, she says, you know that smoking is not good for you. And he responds, I didn't ask for an effing psychological lecture. He replies, I only asked for an effing light. It is the perfect opening scene because it breaks the ice. We know that it is all right to laugh with Christy and not to be intimidated by the great burden of his life. And as the movie develops, it is startling how much of it plays as comedy. Startling unless we remember the universal Irish trait of black humor in which the best laughter, the wicked laughter, is born out of hard times and bad luck. So it charts his life from his earliest days until his greatest triumphs, but the key scene is in the movie may be one that takes place shortly after he's born. His father goes into the local pub to have a pint and consider the fact that his son has been born handicapped, and then he stubbornly makes the statement that no son of his will be sent to a home. The decision to raise Christy as part of a large and loving family is probably what saved his life, for a man of such intelligence would have been destroyed by an institution. His brilliant mind trapped inside his imperfect body would have gone mad from calling for help. So that's part of the synopsis that was offered by Mr. Ebert. And I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was funny as heck. I love the Irish comedy in there. As you know, I have some of that in my background. And I just thought it was amazing. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, please check it out. And if you have watched it before, it might be a good time to revisit. And Ira thought it was okay.
Uh-huh, indeed. Well, I am
Ira gives it.
I am definitely a fan of...
One or two thumbs up, Ira. I would say two.
I would say two for me. I'm a big fan of Irish humor as well. You know, that black humor is one that I definitely get into. The kind of wry, ironic humor is one of my favorite types. So it definitely fits the bill with that one, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So let's see, what do we got here? Well, you want to go into Comedy Corner?
Sure, we can do that. We got a couple of really good ones for you guys today.
Have you heard of the first one?
I have, yes. I love it.
Shonda. Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah, Shonda Pierce.
I posted one on my Facebook yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's hysterical. She did a skit where her girlfriend, just real quickly, her girlfriend and she had been saving money for their children's college like their whole lives, you know, just pennies here and there. And then the kids ended up getting grants and scholarships. So their pittance, you know, couple thousand, whatever, wasn't needed. Right. So her girlfriend says to her, tell your husband we have to go on a grief therapy trip to get rid of our grief over our children going to college because it was so difficult for them, you know, to see their kids leave the nest. Right. So but what her girlfriend didn't tell her is that she actually booked a honeymoon trip for the two of them because it was cheaper. So they played along with it, but they were having such a good time that she called up her husband and she's like, you got to do this. They're scuba diving. It's great. So they convinced their husbands to join them on the trip. But what they didn't tell them is that her girlfriend also booked them the honeymoon package. And that gets just hysterical. It's 8 or 9 minutes long though. So it was too much to use for this show, but I put it on my Facebook. If you get a chance, check it out. It's hysterical.
Absolutely. All righty, well, here you guys go. Enjoy.
Okay, I'll tell you what it's called. Blackstone. It's this real interesting pizza kind of a place, and when I saw it being built and what they were putting there in the front window, I couldn't wait to take my mother there. This is true. Because my mother, all my life, told me that everything in the world leads to beer. This is the truth. It's my mother's perspective is what was always so funny. Honey, don't dance. That leads to beer. It's the truth. You can't say that. That leads to beer. Don't wear that. That leads to beer. You know, when they started advertising beer on television, that just rocked my mother's world. You know what I mean? Because we were very conservative growing up. This is true. I've told this before. We used to hide a radio under the bed and, you know, and wait till my parents left to move slightly to the music. the truth. One night we turned the radio on, my sisters and I. We wet paper towels, wrapped them up the bottom of our legs. Those were our go-go boots. We turned it up real loud and heard Jeremiah was a bullfrog. I knew I was gonna burn. Jeremiah in my Bible is not no bullfrog. No. And I knew my mother would not be happy because we all know frogs lead to beer. And so you have to picture this, and I'm not advocating alcohol by any means. I will get a letter from my entire church family, my homeowners association. So this is the truth. They built this restaurant around this huge distillery. It's just where they brew beer. And so I thought it would be funny to just take Mother in there, see how long it took her to figure out where we were sitting there eating, you know. Joke was on me because we walked through and she was like, oh, it's, I haven't seen one of these for years. We sat there, ordered our pizza, you know, the little waitress came up. She goes, oh, honey, let me ask you something. How old is this particular one? Because my father wanted one of these for years and he had to do all his milking by hand. That they're making milk. I think right now, this very moment, she just found out they weren't. I'm sorry, Mother. I'm so sorry.
Handicap from my past. I notice even what people say sometimes. Have you ever heard the phrase, boy, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall? Every time I hear that, I walk up to the person and I say, and then what? No. You want to be a fly on the wall so you can hear the information that was in the room. Well, I've done the research. Flies don't have ears. Yeah. You would be just as ignorant as you currently are, but you would be a fly. Nobody even listens to a fly. I mean, let's say you're a fly that could read lips. What are you gonna do with the information? And you got 2 days to live. You're making bad choices. Or people will sometimes say stuff to me like, Michael Jr., where are you from originally? I'm like, originally? Huh. Well, I was conceived in Michigan. Yeah. Before that, I was with my dad. Yeah. And then there's a swim competition, right? And I won, which is crazy. Because currently, I don't swim at all. I used to be pretty good, though, apparently. I am not politically correct. I'm just going to tell you. I know I do comedy, but I'm not. It's just too much work. I'm just telling you. You got to watch the news and know the language. I just believe if you put the right stuff in your heart, the right stuff will come out. So I never try to be politically correct. Some people work hard. I'm at a coffee shop. There's a white guy in front of me, orders a coffee. The lady in front of him is like, hey, how do you want it? He looked back at me and was like, African-American, please. I was like, cool, let me get the Caucasian mocha. Let me get that, if I could. Let's get the Caucasian mocha, I guess. I'm trying to learn.
The Caucasian mocha. I definitely love Michael Jr. He's pretty hilarious. I love pretty much everything I've heard from him.
Isn't he hysterical? I love him. And like I said, Chandra, look up the honeymoon package, I think it's called, where they're like sitting in the bushes. As their husbands check into the hotel that they're staying at. And as I said, her girlfriend books them under a honeymoon package, just like she did for them. And it's just hysterical for them to find out that they're not only booked as a honeymoon package, but they get pedicures and each one gets a pink robe and one gets a blue robe. It's just hysterical. If I were married, that would be like the perfect prank.
I would totally, classic. I would totally love it. It'd be hilarious.
I know. She's funny. So moving on to, let's see, what do we have next? We can do Vital Veggies, which turned into Vital Fruits or whatever else I can find. Nanas, my puppy's favorite fruit on the planet, bananas. What do you know about bananas?
Well, they actually are really helpful with headaches in a weird way. I don't know if you've ever heard about this or not, but if you eat a banana and then you take the banana peel and you take the like one part of the peel and lay it across your forehead, it'll cure a headache within about 5 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
You just want me to look silly with a banana peel.
No,
sitting on my head.
It's weird.
Really?
It's weird, but it's true. It works every time. I don't know what it is. It's something about the potassium, maybe, or something along those lines, but it absolutely works. It's an old wives' cure, and I've used it for years. It helps with everybody that I've done it on. And yes, they look very silly with the banana peel on their head. But if they're having no headache, I'll tell you, if you're having no headache, it'll make you feel really good having that banana there.
Wow. Okay. So bananas are good sources of vitamins. Vitamin B6, manganese, vitamin C, copper, fiber, and of course potassium. Everybody knows that bananas are really good to boost your potassium levels. And when I was looking through for a recipe to do, I thought, well, you know, one of my favorites is banana pudding, and it's really easy to make, so I'll just choose that one. It's very, very simple to make. All you need to do is get yourself some vanilla wafers, and you line the bottom of the dish and the sides of the dish with vanilla wafers. And then you can, now, my friends from the Deep South, you know, my girlfriend's mom had been making it from scratch for years and years and years with the pudding that you make, you know, right from the beginning and cook it and boil it down and all that, which is like a half hour process. And my girlfriend's husband told her, you're doing it wrong. And he just simply got out a package of instant vanilla pudding, whipped that up. And then what you do is once you have the lining of the vanilla wafers, you put a layer of pudding and then slice some bananas and put that on top, and then another layer of vanilla wafers and then some pudding and then bananas on top. And then you just top it off with some bananas on the top, if you like, if you're going to eat it immediately, to make it a little more decorative. However, when bananas hit the oxygen, they do tend to get brown. So if it's something that you're going to serve the next day, you know, or maybe you have company coming over in the next couple of days, what I would suggest is topping it off with just the pudding so that you don't get the brown color of the banana on top. And it's very, very easy to make. It's really simple. I use an all-natural pudding that I buy. I know that Jell-O makes one. It's called Simply Pure or something like that. That's got a really good flavor to it that doesn't have any artificial ingredients. And, you know, vanilla wafers are vanilla wafers, but you can find some that have less additives and pure, you know, just bad stuff, you know. So if you shop around, you'll find some. You can even make your own, you know, if you're being creative and have some extra time on your hands. But it's an awesome dessert. It's very good. And what I do from time to time is I actually substitute the vanilla pudding for a banana pudding. And last week I wanted to make it because I had some company coming over, and I made like a vanilla latte flavored pudding, which went over really, really well. It was very good. So you can play with it, but the classic is vanilla pudding. But I have to tell you, if you really like banana, go for the banana pudding flavor with it, and it just gives it an extra boost of banana. It's a very, very good, very easy to make, simple. So what do you think? You're going to try it, Ira?
Well, I would say so. I mean, I'm a big fan of banana pudding. I love it. I don't like eating bananas, period, but I like banana pudding and I like banana cream pie. Go figure. It's kind of weird, but there you go.
Well, with me, when I have a bunch of bananas on the house, which is pretty much a staple here.
Yeah, here too.
I like it in things like oatmeal. Yeah, I don't like to eat them all once at a time, one at a time, the whole thing either. I'll slice it up and put it like an oatmeal, or, you know, make a classic Elvis sandwich or something like that, you know, but just bananas without the peanut butter. You know, stuff like that, banana fritters, you know. But the puppies absolutely love it, and they're great for dogs. So what happens is when they see me going for the bananas, they immediately just, they're right there, you know, they're jumping on top of me. Mine, like the seagulls in that cartoon. It's really cute. But they're good for your animals as well. They're good for your dogs. So it's a very inexpensive treat. Sometimes I mash that up and put it in my recipes for their dog biscuits too. So it's not only good for humans. And they're, you know, it's a relatively inexpensive fruit with today's prices. The problem that I have with them is they go bad so quickly, or you buy them from the store and they're like, what is the deal? They're just, they don't have the same texture and taste that they used to. And I'm sure it's because of the GMOs in our foods and the chemicals and stuff like that, but
that's some
they
of
don't
it,
have
I think,
the same taste and consistency.
Yeah, I think some of it is because of the way that we do food these days. It's especially with bananas and other things that are from like South America and that kind of thing. By the time that you get them in the stores, they've traveled over 1,200 miles at the very minimum, and they've probably been around for at least a month. So it's kind of getting that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's not like we can all have a banana tree in our backyard, right?
Right, exactly.
So, you know, it's something that unfortunately you have to deal with. One thing that I learned, I have a banana tree, so I hang them like they would hang on the tree. It was a very inexpensive item to buy. It was like, I don't know, $4 or $5. And you can actually use a stand-up paper towel holder if you have one of those, something with like a ball on the top. You can hang your bananas from one of those, and those are really inexpensive. You can pick them up sometimes at the dollar store. That helps them to ripen naturally. And another tip that I picked up along the way, and I don't remember where I got it, is if you take a little bit of tin foil and cover the top of the bunch with tin foil, it will actually help to ripen them and I think preserve them too as well, right? Do you know that, Webby?
Yeah, they do. Yep.
There you go. So bananas, that's my vital veggie for the week since we're out of vegetables.
Dried bananas are really good too.
Yeah, I've dehydrated them before too, and those are awesome in like a trail mix or something, and they're great as a survival food too. That's one thing that you can, dehydrators are so indispensable. You can get them for like $20 and you can freeze dry. I've done all kinds of foods, pineapple, apple, bananas. Store them in those airtight bags or make a homemade trail mix with them. It's a really inexpensive alternative to survival food or to emergency food if your power goes out for a couple of days. And it's a really healthy snack for your children. If you were to go buy, you know, dehydrated pineapple or banana in stores, or mango or papaya, anything like that, it's literally like $5 for like a 4 or 5 ounce package nowadays. And you don't know what they're putting in it.
Yep.
You know, if you make it at home, you just slice it up, stick it on the dehydrator, and let it go for, you know, 10, 12 hours, and you're done. It's so easy. You can multitask, you know, plug that in and do other things. And, you know, by the end of the week, if you do a little bit each night, you'll have enough to feed your whole family, you know, for a snack for a couple of weeks, or papaya in case of a power outage, things like that.
They're really great
I
for when you... Yeah, they're really great for when you have fruits and stuff like that that are just on the cusp of being bad. Instead of just throwing them away, you can dehydrate them and make them last a lot longer, too.
Yep, and then, like, even banana bread, I make and freeze that, you know, a couple loaves at a time. And then, you know, it's a quick fix. If you're on your way to work and you don't have time to eat, you can take it out the night before and just thaw it. And or you can freeze it, and, you know, if you have unexpected company, and pull it out. Banana bread's so, it's sick easy to make. I mean, it's just so simple, you know, and it tastes so good. So let's see, what do we got? Positive affirmations in scripture. The affirmation that I chose for this week is, I press on because I believe in my path, also tied into our previous conversation. I thought it would be a good one to use this week. As always, put it on a post-it note, you know, save it as a note on your phone. Keep it on an index card, keep it in your wallet. But say that over and over. I press on because I believe in my path. And you'll change your mindset and eventually believe that. And what you believe, you know, the positivity will help you to maintain that positive attitude and help you to keep going. The scripture that I chose was Philippians. I love Philippians anyway, but 3:14 King James. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So that was my scripture for the week. And let's see, what else we got going? We can do Maggie's Moments. I miss our old music for this. I miss that Billy Dean you know, that song that we used to use. Now that we're all original again, please send me your submissions to Maggie_Hart@outlook.com. Got a couple more the past week. Again, not appropriate. And I almost had a guy that was on one of those national shows. He's a local guy. I'm friends with his mom. The Voice or America's Got Talent or one of those. I don't know. He's becoming somewhat of a local celebrity. And his mom's like, well, you should use this stuff. So I'm like, okay, cool. So she contacted him, and she's like, he really wasn't down with that. So so I lost it before I had it. But the new submissions, again, just aren't really appropriate for what we need them for. So please send me your submissions. I'd love to at least hear them. And maybe we can use them on one of the other shows at some point. But for Maggie's moments, I met a woman this week. And, you know, it's just you meet people by accident, but really not by accident. It's usually somewhat of a divine intervention. That's my belief. We meet people for a reason, right? And so I just randomly started talking to this girl and her husband, and we hit it off immediately. We actually exchanged phone numbers. We're going to hang out and have coffee sometime here in the near future. They were down on their luck, and she, I guess, I don't know if she lost her job or quit her job. I don't know the circumstances, but he was a really good therapist, and he had worked with a lot of people, had a lot of really bad cases, and had done it for a lot of years, and consequently, he got burned out on it, and so he decided to take a break from his profession. He let his certs expire, and he was looking for work, and she's trying to keep the family going. They're both got minimal incomes, I guess, at the time. You know, I don't want to pry too much, but she's looking for ways to expand her income. The biggest reason is because they have like 7 children, and they have a very large family that they have to support. And so she started telling me, I said, well, what do you like to do? What do you want to do? You know, what's your dream? What's your goal? And she says, well, I really, I want to be a sculptor. And she said, as a sideline of that, she's actually started developing, like for these horror movies, you know, the specialty skins and like, you know, the zombie skin and the zombie makeup and stuff like that. And she's branched out into that. But her love is just sculpting. And she said she's got some paintings, but her love is really sculpting and doing this, you know, rubber work with rubber, you know, the rubber skin. What do you call that stuff? Is it silicone? I don't even know.
It's painted rubber, basically. Yeah, it's a type of silicone.
Okay. So, yeah, stuff like that. So she started showing me pictures on her phone of the sculptures that she does. And I was blown away. I guess there's a series on Netflix or something that's got a monster, and it looks kind of like the alien monster. I can't even think of the name of it. And as you know, I don't watch a lot of television. But this creature that she made was just, like, phenomenal. It was very lifelike. I mean, it was just really, really cool. And then, you know, so that really blew my mind. And then she went on to show me she actually makes these miniature babies, newborn infants, that fit in the palm of your hand. And they're just so incredibly detailed and so amazingly beautiful. The expressions on the newborns' faces are so incredibly lifelike. The detail there, the amount of time and effort that she spent. She had many of them in several different poses, newborn poses. Very natural looking, very, very, very lifelike looking. I was just blown away. And as I said, these tiny little sculptures that she did fits into the palm of your hand. So she wanted ways to develop that so that she can earn more, you know, income for her family. And she and her husband are currently working together. They're working with some people in a nearby community to start their own small business selling her artwork. And then as an aside, also doing, you know, some cinematography, special effects for movies and stuff like that. But she really didn't know where to go with it. So thankfully, I have a network where I know some local actors and some local people that work in movies, some of which they've had bit parts and extra parts in some pretty big movies. And I also know some artists, you know. So when we exchanged numbers, I said to her, I'll get back to you. And I went through my list of people that I knew, and I put her in touch with a local Syracuse girl that does acting. And I mentioned a guy that I knew that also he's getting somewhat recognized in the area for independent movies. And she knew who he was, and I told her to get a hold of him. He'd be a good contact to have. And got her a couple other avenues to be able to explore the movie side of it, you know, for the makeup and stuff. And then I also contacted a couple of artists, one of which is becoming, girlfriend of mine is becoming pretty well recognized. Her pottery is just amazing. And she actually was just recently featured, I think, on the Italian version or the French version of the Vanity Fair magazine. And not only that, her pottery is being used in ads in New York City, you know, for different restaurants. And some of the restaurants have actually purchased her pottery to use in their exclusive restaurants. So I'm so happy to see, I mean, this is a girl I met 3-4 years ago, like at an outdoor fair, right, that she's slowly coming to fruition. She's got her own shop now, and she said she really doesn't need to do outdoor shows. She's able to generate enough business through her little shop to keep her busy. And, you know, with this outside recognition, a lot of it's in New York City. She's doing very well. So I contacted her and some other friends in the art field to see if they would be able to help her. And I got her a bunch of connections. And I checked up with her the next day after I had texted her the information. And she actually followed through and went to a Syracuse local film festival meeting that I found out was going on through my other friend and, you know, things like that. And so what she initially, she was really hopeful but sad and depressed about the fact that she couldn't get this going. It was so cool the next day after, you know, I had given her the information and she checked into some things and went to the meeting. She had a much more bright, positive outlook the next day, and she was just so excited for the ventures that lie ahead, and it gave her that extra kind of like shot in the arm that, yes, you can do this, keep moving forward. And she actually said to me, isn't it funny how God brought us together? We were brought together for a reason. I'm like, totally. You know, that's how it works. That's how it flows, right? I mean, and I actually, in the past of 2 or 3 days, I must have had probably 5 to 6 very similar experiences. There was a gentleman that I met. I kind of knew who he was, but I met and started talking to him, and he's a veteran. And we talked about this, and that's one of the reasons I thought this Veterans Miracle Center story was so incredibly cool. This man is like, he's a helicopter mechanic. And so he's still in the reserves, but that's what he did. That's what he learned to do in the service. And he got out of service and had some problems in his marriage, and he and his wife split up, and he had some financial issues. And this guy bicycles 10 miles a day, one way to work. And it's only a $10 an hour job at a fast food place. It doesn't provide any benefits. It's not full time. And even though he's a veteran, okay, and even though he's got extreme potential to be a helicopter mechanic, because of his financial problems, he lost his vehicle and has to ride his bicycle and can't get to a place, you know, that would hire him for his abilities, and he's not able to move right now. He was actually homeless for a period of time, and another friend of his that was in the service took him in and, you know, said, you can pay me whatever, X amount of dollars a month or whatever, until you get back on your feet. But what's happened with that is she's a female. She's now got a boyfriend, you know, and he sees that his time there is coming to an end. He knows that the relationship is progressing to where eventually they're going to want to be together, and he doesn't want to be an imposition. And so I said to him, well, what have you pursued as far as, you know, getting assistance for yourself? He says, he said, you know, and he's such a sweet guy, too. He's really soft-spoken and very, very kind. He didn't have an attitude about it or anything, but he says to me, I tried public assistance, and on my part-time job, they told me I make too much for food stamps. and that nobody there could help me, that they couldn't give me any assistance. This guy brought home $70 last week in his paycheck. $70. I mean, how is that even conceivable? You know, he says, I don't understand it. He goes, I'm not full time. He said, and what happens is because we've had such incredible snow here, he can't drive his bicycle to work. So he's paying a taxi or a Uber to take him back and forth from where he's staying. And it's costing him on the average 10 to 12 bucks one way. So by the time he pays for his transportation to and from work, he's almost virtually at a deficit after working his shift. And it just is incredible to me that this country allows that, you know, that this country allows our veterans to be treated so, so inconsiderately. It just makes me very angry and upset. And so I said, so, you know, look, I said, I've been there. I go, my family come from a long line of vets. My dad's a vet. I said, I've been in financial situations before, such as yours. You know, what can I do to help you? What do you need? Do you need clothes? He goes, I haven't bought clothes in so long. He goes, I'm still wearing my military issue clothes. He goes, and then I wear my uniform to work. Because again, like I said, it's a fast food place. So, and I say, he says, you know, and I don't take my roommate's food because they don't really, you know, once in a while they'll offer me something and I'll take that. But if there's food in the fridge, if it doesn't belong to me and I don't have the money to pay for it, I'm not going to take it from her. He says, so basically I'm living at this fast food, on this fast food that I get at work. He goes, that's my lifestyle. So on Monday, I called the food pantry local here in town. And on Monday, when they open, I'm going to pick him up and take him down to the food pantry, and he'll be able to get at least a box of food. And then, you know, what I said to him was, I said, we'll work something out. We'll get you back and forth to work somehow. And, you know, what'll happen is, you know, on the days that I can help you, I'll help you. And then, you know, we can scoot in a little bit early and stop off at the food pantry, you know, maybe once a week or something. And then I'm putting some stuff together here also for him at home. And then I talked to a buddy of mine that has, he's a size large, this guy's a size large. And I was able to meet up with him this morning and give him like 5 or 6 pairs of blue jeans and a couple of sweatshirts and T-shirts that are in really good shape. And I also put him in touch with a local pastor that I know, who is starting a clothing bank, you know, and it's going to be like the Albany thing. It's free, you know, for people who need it through the community. It's not going to be like a Salvation Army. Because one thing that we both discussed and we both agreed upon is the Salvation Armies and the rescue missions are wonderful resources. But, you know, their clothing is actually going up in price, at least at the ones around here. I can remember when I go to North Carolina, there's one that I always stop at with my girlfriend. You can get $40, $50 shirts for like $2, $3, brand new with the tags still on them a lot of times. Up here, you know, you're going to get used clothing, yeah, but it's not always in decent shape. You have to check it over. And you're paying between $5 and $8 and $10 for one item, right? Whereas this place, you know, through the pastor, is going to donate to people who need it. So I gave him his number. He's going to get in touch with him. Consequently, that pastor also has a hand in working in a homeless shelter. So should he find himself, you know, where the girl tells him all of a sudden you got to go, you know, he'll at least have some place to go in the interim. And then we're going to work on, he's got some court dates and stuff. He had some traffic tickets that because of his income, he wasn't allowed to pay. So he's got to be able to pay those off. We're going to figure out a way to help him get those paid off. And also, I've been networking, and I got him some job applications for places that are closer in town and better paying and a little more mechanical, suited a little more, you know, more automotive, but suited more to what, you know, his background is a little bit more, and hopefully a place that will give him, you know, more hours and he can work his way up and hopefully even maybe start at a full-time job where he'll have benefits too. So that's my Maggie's Moments for the week. What do you think?
Well, it's definitely really cool. And like I said before, earlier in the show, you know, the way that veterans today are treated, I mean, it's just absolutely horrible, you know, to say the least. And now that we've got this whole government shutdown thing going on, who is being affected? The military. They're no longer getting pay until they get this budget thing settled. You know, just it's all aimed directly at the military. And it's sad. You know, it really is. It's sad.
not only is it sad, it's something that as a society we should be totally embarrassed about, that we're allowing, you know, as I've said how many times before, our veterans and our elderly people to go without the care that they need, and we're just not taking care of them properly. And, you know, it's just, it's sickening to me. I mean, here's a guy that wasn't looking for any handouts, right? Got an honorable discharge, right? And what, he seriously rides his bike 10 miles one way to work every day? I mean, the guy's got heart, he's got soul, he's got initiative. He's just trying to make a living, and he can't even survive on the pittance that he's making now. And they won't give him anything, aside which the final blow, the thing that, like, my heart literally jumped in my throat when he told me this is, yeah, he goes, and I work this weekend, and then I have 9 days in a row off. 9 days with no income at all. Nothing. No food, you know, relying on the handouts of his roommate. And like he said, those are pretty few and far between. And he's a man of honor, and he's a man of integrity. So he won't go and take anything out of the refrigerator that doesn't belong to him. And these are America's heroes. These are people with good hearts. And we're treating them this way. We're not taking care of them. It just, it saddens me and it sickens me. It does. So whatever I can do to help people like that, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And hopefully we'll all be able to do the same thing, right?
Exactly.
Calm down now. We need a, well, how about we go into the music?
We can do that, definitely. This is another one from Hip Conspiracy. Really good group. I like the stuff that they do.
Me too.
Here you guys go. Enjoy. So there you guys go, a little bit of Hip Conspiracy. I really like those guys. They've got a nice jazzy feel to them. I enjoy them.
Yeah, I mean, the category, you know, the title that I picked when I first came up with the idea for the show is Dancing Jammy Music While We Go Pee. And when we were using the commercial music, we had some pretty happening tunes. But I really didn't dance. I didn't jam. I did go pee. And I swayed a little bit. I think their stuff is just amazing. They're a group out of Rochester. They're actually a bunch of young kids. Some of them are still in college. And you can check them out on Bandcamp or SoundClick. And check them out. Hip Conspiracy. They're just amazing. I love them. How much time we got left, buddy?
None. We're actually into overtime a little bit now.
All right, let me just do Mamma Mia, and we'll skip the meditation for this week.
Okay.
Mamma Mia for this week, because you know I can't skip Mamma Mia. Just take it easy, you know. Take it easy. Stare tranquilo. And, you know, give yourself a break. Give yourself a pat on the back for everything that you're doing. Keep going forward. Try and stay positive. It does, again, so much to affect our physical and our mental health. When we stay positive, don't stress about the little things. Love each other, take care of each other, help each other, and we'll do maybe a longer meditation next time, right? Meditate on your own. I got faith in you. You can do it. Thank you so much, Ira. This has been a blast. I really like the way this one came out. I hope everybody else enjoys it as well. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Indeed. Have fun. Stay safe out there, and we will talk to you again soon.
Gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world, breathe a little clean fresh air, find a place to offer up a silent